Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass. I'm your host, Sam, from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
And I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
Yes, you are. Each week we get together, we talk about cars, motorsport, F1, cars. You can listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can watch us on youtube.com/behindtheglass. Don't forget to subscribe and turn on notifications. And Tony, if people want to support this podcast, what should they do?
Watch it.
No. But also head to Patreon. You can support us on patreon.com/behindtheglass. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you enjoy the episode. 40,000 subscribers.
I actually didn't know what how you was going to start.
I was going to say £40,000. Go. Oh, wait, we've already done that. We now have, Tony, 40,000 subscribers.
Very good.
On YouTube.
Very good.
I kind of wish I still had the sound effects.
I'm glad you don't.
That's a throwback for OG listeners. Season 3 listeners, when I used to be able to push buttons on my audio mixing desk and dodgy sound effects would play.
I remember.
Everyone hated them.
Yeah.
But I mean, thank you. I mean, thank you for those of you that have subscribed to the Behind the Glass YouTube channel. Thank you. We really appreciate it. It means a lot, doesn't it? It feels really exciting.
Yeah.
It's a cool number. I mean, obviously, we would also like 100,000 subscribers. We'd like 1 million.
Or 50 next.
50. But it feels like we've been around 30 for a while.
Yeah.
So that 40 mark. And it's just this big upswing at the moment. We hear a lot of positivity. We're getting some great feedback. We really appreciate it. And then seeing that number, sort of tick over 40,000. Just cool. So
we're glad you're committed because we are.
There we go. Well said.
Pleasure.
We have to thank some patrons, some recent patrons as well, because not only do we love our subscribers, we love our patrons. Luke Meadows, Charlie Gray, Ben Clutterbank, Martin Bowen, Alex McGregor, you're all heroes. So thank you so much for signing up. New ones.
Wow, lovely.
New additions.
Very good.
Lads, all the lads. I think we have one or two female patrons.
There you go. Can we get more?
Calm down, Tony. No. It's not that kind of show.
No.
I do not want a lawsuit. I know we're going to get some lawsuits from manufacturers, but I don't want another kind of lawsuit.
I'm good at defending them. I've had a few of me times.
I can only imagine. God, where's this episode going? Let's bring it back to cars, shall we? Let's talk about last week. We did this hilarious thing where I said, there's so much to talk about, and it was one of our shortest episodes yet. So I'm not going to promise the length of this episode, but I am going to promise that there are things to talk about. Because, of course, now we know about McLaren Artura. We know about the GT3. We've heard rumours of the 812 special variant. Morgan Plus 8 has been announced. Synthetic fuels, we were just talking about off air a second ago. I've had some pretty amazing press drive opportunities, and the F1 season is finally kind of kickstarted with a load of launches. So that's a preview.
That's a preview. I saw a new shape F-type just now. What?
Are you going to do this every week?
Well, I don't see one every week.
No, but you bring up F-type ever since I went, I think I might buy another F-type. Go on. So you saw a new shape F-type.
I was quite uninspired, but he just sort of drove past and I sort of didn't really look at it twice. I just sort of let it go past me.
It hasn't got the same effect, does it?
No.
I actually quite like it. I think it's a pretty car.
Me too.
And you look at it and go, that's nice, but it's not very inspiring like the old one.
No. Maybe it's me. Maybe I'm just fed up with cars now. I don't know.
I think you are. You're becoming increasingly negative about all cars.
I am, yeah.
But yeah, very pretty, but I'm the same. Like, I think... So in my whole, I'm going to buy another F-Type, and following my recent E-Type experience, I'm now like, I have to have another Jaguar. I kind of start to think, well, look, if I'm buying a 70, 65 grand SVR, which I shouldn't be because it's way too much money, why not just buy a new F-Type? But I still do lean towards the old shape one.
I'd have the older shape SVR over the new car. 100%.
See, I think I would too. And why is that? It's a bit more beefy and brutish, the old
How
one.
How much are them E-types?
Oh, mate, I have been checking this. So the one I drove, 300 grand.
Oh, my God.
But that's top of the pile, mate. That is top, because that's restored by Jaguar themselves.
Right.
So it's as high as you can go. Now, to buy a Series 1 project car is in a rust bucket that you're going to have to put back together. You're already looking at 50 grand for a rust bucket.
Really?
Yeah.
For a complete restoration car.
As in, no, that you've got to restore.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
For one that's already been restored, I think probably 150.
Because you know what I can't get my head around is that, I mean, I would, if I was going to buy a classic car, it would be something like that, or one of them Goldwing Mercs, you know, the really pretty
Goldwing.
Yeah, or is it,
what did you say?
No.
You say Goldwing.
Goldwing, yeah. Is it? And what's it? What? No. And what's the other one? Is it the Pagola?
Pagoda.
Pagoda.
Yeah. The Goldwing.
No, it's not. It was the Pagoda that I'm looking at.
Okay. Pagoda. That, very pretty.
That or that E-type. Can you imagine that? Putting up outside.
I can't imagine you in either.
Why?
Well, mate, I mean, firstly, you've spent the last 3 years telling me about how you hate old cars. Secondly, I think you'd be furious because, you know, it wouldn't turn on or something would fall apart. And I just don't see you in a class. I can't imagine you in a classic car.
What, getting out at Harrods with a suit on? Getting out one of them? Are you joking? Like James Bond?
Getting out of Harrods? Have you come from Dubai or something?
No, but like, that's just, if you've got one of them cars, that's where you park, right outside on the double reds, and then let it get towed away, I suppose.
It's what you should do. I was too nervous to do so.
Didn't
so
do that.
When I had the E-Type, I went out super early on a Sunday morning. Obviously, lockdown here in the UK at the moment, so the roads are pretty dead. But Harrods and the roads in Knightsbridge, completely abandoned. And
you
I was
went
like,
there?
Yeah, and I was like, oh my God, this what a shot. The E-Type outside Harrods in the like taxi. And so I'm like, great. So as I'm driving up, I see all these signs saying, no stopping for any reason, and like red lines everywhere. And I went, I'm a pussy, I'm getting out of here.
You didn't stop?
So I bailed, yeah. Oh. I know, would have been a good photo.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't see it. So across the street here, Duke of London, his missus, Georgia, has a very nice green Pagoda, which you should go and look at. They've just restored it.
The Merc?
Yeah, the Merc.
Oh, no.
Green with tan. They've put it back together really, really well.
How much is that?
I don't know, you can ask her. I have no idea. They've just done a whole job on it.
That'd do me, something like that. They're the only two classic cars that I would ever consider buying. Because, do you know what? I probably wouldn't drive them that much because it wouldn't work. Well, the Merc would probably work.
I don't know. I mean,
I don't know either.
The E-Type that of any weekend for it to not work, the weekend I had it was the weekend that it was going to break. I mean, it was -2, -3 degrees the 3 days or 2.5 days that I had it. It was pouring with snow one day. It was raining. I left it overnight. I came in here, key in the ignition, choke up, start a button, boom. It was warm inside. Like, no, I mean, perfect.
Yeah, do you know, but do you know what? A car like that would do me because I wouldn't mind just looking at it. I wouldn't care if it didn't work. And the amount of times that I would actually use it, it would be honestly like a couple of times a week to go to London to have some dinner. You know, we should pull up outside Scott's or something like that.
Better than Harrods. I mean, you've sorted your life out a bit. But I think the point being that it wouldn't be a couple of times a week.
No.
It'd be a couple of times a year. Yeah. And that is the truth. Isn't it? Like,
would be after I paid for it.
Yeah. I was so, driving that E-Type around. I got so carried away, and I was doing all the research, and I was Googling. And I thought, oh, here we go. This is my new life. I'm going to be a tinkerer. I'm going to have an E-Type downstairs I'm tinkering with. But they're special because they're not the everyday experience. And I would love to think in my head that I would have an E-Type and I would drive it as a daily. But you wouldn't. I mean,
no.
you just wouldn't. And
no, no,
and
no.
So they're special for what they are and for the experiences you have with them. And as I say, I drove it rain, snow, sun, and every occasion it was brilliant. But you've got to be realistic. If you're having a car that age, it's few and far between. But if you can afford to do so, why not?
Yeah.
I think Pagodas are a lot more expensive. Oh, my God. Affordable, a lot more affordable than a E-Type, I think. But we'll go and ask around after this.
I think you'll be surprised, mate.
Oh, they're not cheap,
no.
But I don't think they're 150. I think you can
70 or 80.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm interested you've said that though. But yeah, long story short, how we all kick this off. Yeah, F-type versus E-type and things like that. Yeah, that new shape one just doesn't have the same charm on character, I don't think.
What about DB5? How much are they now?
I mean,
are they a couple of million? 3 million?
Yeah, I think lots. Oh. I think lots. I mean,
that'd be another one I'd like.
What about a 250 short wheelbase?
And one of them.
Yeah, what's happened to you?
No.
Did you have a ride this weekend?
No.
You have a fall?
No.
You're getting older?
Yeah. No, I'm getting older. That's the problem.
That's the problem. But, you know, I mean, these cars are really cars that I didn't think you'd ever appreciate. But, yeah.
I appreciate them.
250 short wheelbase, the E-Type, and there's probably lots of others that I'm forgetting. But, mate, have you ever driven anything from the 60s?
Yes.
What have you driven from the 60s?
The E-Type.
Oh, okay, sorry.
The Pagola.
Pagoda.
Pagoda. So
the Goldwing? Have you driven the Goldwing?
No. So in my early years as a pup, I done some valeting.
Oh, of
some
course.
Cleaning.
Yes. Oh, we've spoken about it.
Very long. And I used to clean two of them.
Ah. Because at that point, the 1960s, you were what, 12 or 15 years old?
Yeah, I was. Yeah, still got bomb damage.
Okay, well, let's move on because we promised to talk about new cars, new supercars.
Good.
Rather than old 60s things. And yes, we teased it last week, but we didn't know a lot of information. Now we do. Let's dive straight into it with the brand that we're trying to give a second chance this year, McLaren. Oh, you're taking off your jacket. That's how serious it's getting, Tony.
It's been warm in here.
Because the Artura has now been revealed. This is the replacement for the 570S. It's kind of supposedly going to help us differentiate McLaren's product lineup, but it is the first McLaren from this new age McLaren automotive era as a different engine.
Mm.
We've got a hybrid turbocharged V6 engine, not the V8 that's been used in every single car they've made.
Yeah.
Lots of impressive facts and stats and figures about this car. Impressively lightweight, so it's under 1,500 kilos. I think it's 14. I've got it written down somewhere. Anyway, 14 something. And considering it's got a hybrid powertrain, pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Batteries sort of behind the underneath the passenger seats, but the cabin's actually quite a lot bigger.
Yeah.
Loads of new bits, new carbon tub, new suspension. Design is a sort of evolution, I would say, of 570. But yeah, lots of impressive things on paper about this car.
Looks a little bit like a 600 LT? No. The GT.
McLaren GT.
Yeah. It's not a 5 anything, is it?
It's just a GT.
And a little bit like a 720S at the front.
So that, yeah, it's
that right?
A 720S had an inappropriate relationship with a 570S.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it got the rear end of a GT.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just to clarify before we go in on this car, this now sort of supposedly simplifies McLaren's lineup. You've got the GT is your entry level car. This is the everyday McLaren. I actually can't remember the price, but 150 odd grand, I think. Mm-hmm. The car that can fit golf clubs in.
Yeah.
Then you step up to the Artura, which is a Huracan rival and a McLaren Maserati MC20 rival, and you would say a Roma rival, but obviously very different cars. But essentially, the Artura is your kind of mid-level super sports car.
So,
because the sports series.
Okay, so I would say its biggest competitor is 911 Turbo S.
Sure, 911 Turbo S, or I would say Huracan, but maybe I'm wrong. And then you go up to the Super Series, which is the 720S.
Which I would think that's what the Huracan competes
with. Fine, okay, that's the F8 rival and things like that. So yeah. Those are your kind of three tiers now of McLaren. You've got the Hyper Series at the top, or the Ultra Series, whatever you call it, which are the P1s and the Senna's, but let's forget about them because they're not everyday cars. And of course, within those three variants, GT, Artura, 720, there are special versions. So 765 LT, I'm sure we're going to see an Artura S or Artura R or something. GT as well, we don't know. But those are the three avenues now.
Yep.
So what are your thoughts on the car?
It's a lot of money.
Yes, well, I mean, you've gone straight in with my...
Oh, was that...
Yeah, that was the whole... Any other thoughts before we come back to the prize?
Well, it's a little bit... I think it looks a little bit uninspiring, if I'm honest.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it does look cool, but like, I don't know, like, our modern supercars, same with like the F8 and the Huracan Evo as well, like they're built for mass market production. Do you know what I mean? Like to kind of fit everyone. Mm. Like there's no real real proper curves and guns and stuff.
Yeah, like I mean, I get where you're coming from. I think it's a good looking car. I think it's a good evolution of 570S. And I think some angles, I disagree with you there. I think it looks good.
Yeah, I mean, it looks okay, but I just think it looks like a car that's been built to sell in numbers. That's what I think I'm trying to get at.
Okay.
Like, to fit kind of everyone's eyes.
Okay, so it's not too controversial.
Yeah, not like a 765 that's like
super aggro.
Aggro, yeah. Okay. Like, yeah, some people probably wouldn't buy it. Well, they would, because it's 765. But what I mean is for looks.
Yeah, alone. No, I get where you're coming from. I think, yeah, of course, whenever we're talking about looks of a car, we're always going to... People are going to disagree. Differ. So yeah,
of course.
Okay, and in terms of, do you think it's good that they've got this new engine? Do you think it's good that they're? I mean, they're one of the first to implement a hybrid mass production. I mean, Ferrari and the SF90, of course, but that's a different level. So in terms of a supercar, mid-level supercar, sub 200k, theoretically,
won't be.
We're coming back to that.
The biggest problem I see with it is the Turbo S, mate.
Yeah, so you keep saying. So stats-wise, 671 horsepower from the Artura, 3.036, 577s from the
engine,
and 94 from the electric.
Yeah.
But yeah, it on paper compares to a Turbo S pretty close in terms of other stats.
Probably identical, and the Turbo S is more practical. It's more something you'll use every day because it just is. It'll just fit in, you know. It's not going to get
better. Yeah, but wasn't the 570S and the Turbo S always a rival anyway? I mean, they're different cars, right? I mean, you've got engines in different places. The Turbo S has got four seats. It's a Porsche. It's a McLaren. I mean...
Yeah.
I think... Okay, so let's come on to it because we're kind of trying to awkwardly avoid the main...
Navigate around it.
But yeah, the big problem I see with this car, and I talked about it when it was revealed, is yes, the price. Because I think the official UK price now is $182,500 starting price. So that's without any options. And McLaren options are expensive. So by the time you've picked a nice paint and wheels and stuff like that, you're going to be probably tipping over 200K.
210, 220, yeah. I would think.
Now, the reason I see that's a problem is that's a significant hike over 570S, which it replaces. 25 grand hike, I think.
Well, you say that. My 570S list was... It was either 158 or 161 list.
Yeah.
So it's not 25 grand.
So I was talking, sorry, I meant starting price. But yeah. Of course. I mean, yes. So starting price is 25 grand, but plus options, yeah, you're looking, it's going to be a bit of a more significant increase there. Actually, maybe it's 35 grand. 150 was the 570S, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, so it's 35 grand.
Was it like 140s, 147 or 148? Yeah.
So it's a significant hike. And I think, you know, the new tech and the amount that's changed justified for a price hike. Totally get that.
Mm.
I'm like, fair enough. Like, you know, you've done a lot of work in that car, so hike the price. But the problem is we've seen with McLarens in general, and we spoke about it a lot on this podcast, they don't tend to hold their values particularly well.
No. I've got another avenue, though, I'm going to attack this at. Maybe they've done it to protect the brand. As in, maybe they're not going to make as many. Maybe they're going to hold on the price. Maybe you're not going to be able to walk into a McLaren dealer and say, I'm not buying that car unless I get 50 grand off. Maybe that's why they've had to put the price up, because they plan on selling less.
It's made the structure, as I say, make more sense because of GT, Artura, 720S. The pricing structure makes more sense.
They're
less attainable at that price point as well. Mm. And you're right. Maybe this is a good move from them. I saw it as a, wow, that's going to be very painful for a few people, because if it doesn't work out for them, if people are specking these cars up, this new era of McLaren, they're getting cars for 210, 215 grand, and 6 months later, they're at 150. I mean, the fire is going to keep burning. I mean, you know, people will keep fleeing. I mean, I'm hoping, for all the reasons we've discussed before, that it's not the case. And as you say, this is a change of tactics now.
But mate, I'll tell you what, though. If you bought a Huracan new, you'd do the same money.
Yeah, and I'm with you there.
If you bought a F8 new, you'd probably do the same money, because McLaren, Ferrari wouldn't give you any money off. Lamborghini will quite happily give you 20-odd grand off a new Huracan now. I mean, and people forget that. When they do that, manufacturers, it's not good, it's bad, because it means they can't sell them. So if you can sell something, it's why we always bang on about Porsche and Ferrari. They do hold their money better, because they don't give you any money off in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Some of their models they do, obviously, but the desirable ones, they don't.
Well, and the prime example of this is the 600 LT.
Yeah.
Which, you know, fundamentally should be as close as the as it can be to an Artura in terms of performance. Mm. The 600 LT, when it came out, McLaren dealers were offering an insane deal, which was what, 10 grand in and a grand a month? Was it 5 grand in?
It was. I think it was 10 or 15 grand. They changed it.
Fine, depending which dealer you were.
And depending on what month you decided to go in as well. But yeah, it was something like that, and it was 1,200 quid a month. It was for nothing.
It was for nothing. Yeah. Definitely the one I heard was a grand, spot on a grand a month, and it was 2 years, a limited amount of mileage, which was still significant, like 8,000 miles and like that for over the 2 years.
6,000 a year.
6,000 a year. Yeah. And you hand the car back.
Yeah.
And of course, so many people jumped on that, as even I was tempted to at one stage. And why we've ended up now is nearly approaching 2 years down the line, and the amount of LTs that are coming to the market at horrific value is insane.
Well, they're 130, 135 now as two-year-old cars with not a lot of miles on them, a couple of thousand miles. So, that you can blame that on the car, but that is the manufacturer's fault. That's no one else's fault but the manufacturer's, because they built too many.
Exactly, and that deal already suggests inherently that the car's, you know, the value's not in the car, the product's not desirable as much. Because so if they steer away from doing that, as long as there's no insane Artura deals that we're all hearing about and getting offered, and as you say, they're a bit strong with their price and the amount that they're producing and all the quality and all these different things, we have hope. Because I do think it's cool. I'm excited. I definitely want to have a go. I'm hoping this is a new era. I'm intrigued and I'm excited.
Proof's in the pudding, mate. We're gonna have to wait and see. We'll keep an eye on them. Hopefully you'll get to drive one soon enough, and I'm sure it'd be good, because McLaren cars are good to drive. It's that the, you know, down the years we've always moaned about build quality and after sales and all the other bits that go with it, but the cars in general, the actual bits of metal, have always been good.
So yeah, let's wait and see. Let us know your thoughts below. McLaren Artura, are you a fan with the way it looks? Are you excited by the car as we are?
I'll have a Turbo S.
I know you will. Talking about all things Porsche, let's come on to it. GT3.
Yeah.
So we finally had the big unveil. It's been leaked out dripped out for ages now, hasn't it? We've had sort of, you know, Chris Harris doing picking up a bit, peeling back the curtain and things like that. But we now have the full details. And we've talked about this car so much that really there's one key fact that I want to hone in on, which is the Nürburgring lap times.
Yeah.
So the car is 13 seconds quicker than its predecessor. And 6 seconds quicker than the outgoing 3RS.
It's 655?
659 or something, wasn't it?
That's...
See, this, you're too much of a nerd. No, that's not... That's like official news.
Okay, well, I can tell you.
I know you're telling. 658.927. That's the new...
Was that the new track? Or because I heard it was 655, taking into account... Because they start a bit earlier now.
Oh, God, I don't know. Bore off. Such a Nürburgring lap time nerd.
So
hold on a sec. Let's see.
Because a lot of people are quoting old lap 655s. So the
old lap, new lap, how bloody boring. Okay. So the car, all it is it's 13 seconds quicker. That's all we care about,
isn't
it?
Than the old car.
Than the old car. Yeah. And 6 seconds quicker than the 3RS.
Well, that's a lie.
Why?
Because the 3RS was 656. So this is 655. So it's a second.
Hold on a second. I don't believe.
Okay, I can back this up historically.
I know, but you're also sometimes so bloody minded that even if you're wrong, you just won't admit it.
I won't be wrong.
Then, okay, but Kern ended up with this with the quickest 659.927 on the run of the full circuit, using the old lap timing methodology. That's 655. Well done. So, 3RS.
656.
GT3 RS Nürburgring time. GT3, oh my God, this is so boring. 656, okay, well done. So what did we just say?
You said it was 6 seconds, it's a second. Now, I'll tell you why it's not 6 seconds. First of all, Nürburgring lap times. You know why the reason why they go to Nürburgring?
Right.
Is because if they done it at Silverstone, the times would be... so small that people wouldn't get... This is a marketing tool, mate, to sell the car.
Of course. The length of the track makes the gaps seem even more significant.
Exactly
right. Of course.
So in previous years, Porsche, they're very clever. And I can tell you for the next 5 years, the process of how they're their cars and what their times are going to be. So the current GT3 that's just come out is as fast as the outgoing 3RS. The new 3RS that's coming in now will be like a Manti 3RS now around Nürburgring. So a bit another 10 seconds faster than that car. So it'd be like 6:45 roughly.
Okay, because the 2RS was 6:47.
Correct. It won't be quite as fast as that, but it won't be far off.
Right.
So, but 3 seconds around the Nürburgring is like literally nothing. Around a normal track, there'd be nothing between them. And that's how they increment the changes. It's always, what did the old car get? The new car can come in at that a bit faster because they can probably make them much faster, but how do they sell the next car if
they've always got to be able to improve.
Correct.
I'm absolutely furious that there's such thing as a different lap now at the Nürburgring. How is that a thing? How can you release times? We go, well, it's not on this lap time. That's ridiculous.
Yeah, so
now you can't judge.
Well, you can. It's just that the extra bit on the lap of the Nürburgring is about 4 seconds slower. Nearly 5 seconds. Sorry, 5 seconds slower, yeah, because it's a bit longer. So,
well, I'm furious.
I mean, I'm here all week.
To talk about Porsche nerd out technology, such a loser. I can't bear it.
It's not. I'm
here a week for all of your Porsche questions. So, okay, fine. Well, now that you've been able to nerd out about that, I'm with you. So the big thing here, which I'm hearing, is that this new car is all about its air.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Error.
Of course.
Because, of course, on paper, it's only 10 horsepower more and blah, blah, blah. But the aero is what's making it so significantly quicker. So much
so. Suspension as well. So it's got proper rose joint suspension like the 3RS. It's probably got a little bit bigger tyres. Because this is what they do, mate. They literally just put small things on them every year. And you can read them like a book, which is why they're so good, which is why I like them so much. Same as you drive them. They're so predictable. You read them like a book. They're so good to drive fast on track. And it is all about the aero, of course. And round a normal track, there'll be nothing in all of them. But because it's Nürburgring and it's
exacerbated, 10
years to go round, that's when it really... And the Nürburgring, you've been round there, it's really flowy and it is all about downforce. It's not really about brakes and handling a bit, but it's a really flowy track.
Of course, so much high speed.
Correct. It's all aero. So...
That's why it's going to win.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we've now seen, of course, a lot of that aero is coming from that rear wing, which the final design has been revealed. And I think a lot of...
Duck wing,
thank you. A lot of purists or a lot of people, oh, I don't know if I could handle that wing though. But I think after a day, I'm already actually quite liking it.
But if you can't handle it, don't buy it. And if you're moaning about it, it's normally the people that can't afford them anyway. Do you know what I mean? In general.
Yeah, I think it's the people who aren't getting their slots and they're therefore complaining about it on Instagram. Yeah. But I think it's that thing where so much of car design, they have to push things forward, they have to change. And a lot of the time, look at 720S, we all go, oh God, it's awful. And then a little bit later, we're like, oh, I'm kind of coming around to it.
Yeah.
Same with M3, M4. And I think that wing, you know, a lot of people are using it as a sort of, yeah, you're saying, you're right, an escape goat. It's like, oh, I'm not going to get one because I that wing is too much for me.
Yeah.
But also because of the way that social media has kind of pushed things over the last few years, I think touring now is like this, people are like obsessed with the idea of touring. Like that, oh, I'm going to wait for the touring. Well, obviously, as we know, in the last generation, it was kind of like a slightly forgotten, like overlooked thing, touring.
Don't go on track with it if you want the touring.
Well, this is the whole thing, right? So if this car, this is what is moving me on to, if this car's the big advancements are in aero, right? That's what they're really pushing for. And of even course. Speaking to Porsche UK, they said, look, if we're doing a UK launch, we want to go somewhere where we can show off this car's aero. So then is the touring actually going to be a little bit moot point, as in the sense where it's going to be a half, you know, it's, you're not, do you see what I'm getting at?
Yeah, yeah, I would think the touring compared to the, because don't forget the 991.2 mm-hmm. is already a very good car.
Mm-hmm.
So the touring version, I would think, won't be too much different to the outgoing one, essentially,
right.
Because of the wings and the aero. It just hasn't got it. Manual, can you have a PDK in it?
Can't have a PDK.
So it's manual
previous touring,
as well.
They're saying the new one you'll be able to.
Yeah, it's more a road car.
100% a road car. Yeah.
Whereas a GT3 is something you can use on track, and if you want to go hardcore again, that's when you go RS and GT2. We've already done the segments of this before. A GT3 is a road car you can drive on track. An RS, the RS models are track cars for the road. That's how they split them.
And the touring is a
road car
that you could have taken on track, but actually now you should just keep on the road.
Yeah, because it's not got the aero. And if you look at race cars historically, F1 cars as well, they never got these big engines anymore. And loads of F1s are not a very good example, but GT cars in general, they only have 500 horsepower, mate. They don't.
Oh yeah, it's all about the aero.
It's all about aero.
It's all about aero, of course, forcing you into the road. So yeah, okay. Well, long story short, I don't really know the points that I was trying to get at, but I think fundamentally, I think new GT3 is an improvement as much as we would expect. I don't,
of course,
you know, I don't think it's taken this huge leaps and bounds that over above any other generation. I think it looks good. I think it's, you know, I think it will be amazing. I've now spent some time recently in a 992 Carrera. I still think it's big. I still think it's bulky. I'll be interested to see how that
same
changes.
Size.
Yeah, no, but it does feel in the cabin, it feels big.
For sure.
So
yeah, yeah.
I'll be interested to see how that translates into a GT3 product.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we'll see. But very cool that it's now finally here.
The one thing we can get straight and categorically right about the GT3, it will be the best car. It's just because it's for what it does. It will be the best car because that's what they do and it's what they've been doing for 30 years, mate. So, you know, we can pick the bones out of, oh, it's 20 grand dearer than the old car, and because it is.
Mm-hmm,
it's
mm-hmm.
20 grand more. They're mm-hmm.
140, isn't it?
No, right. Spec'd car's like 155 now.
So funny how you and I differ on starting price and spec'd price. Isn't it? You literally do not acknowledge starting price.
No, because no one buys standard cars.
I get it. Like, fine. But also, in my mind, spec can differ so much, right?
Yeah.
So that's why I always go starting price plus. But every time we talk about it, we're the opposite.
That's the dealer bit in me. That's the job, because I want to know the end bit.
End bit, yeah.
And they're easily 20 grand. So my orange GT3.
It's 120 it starts at, isn't it? Sorry.
It was 120 plus options. I think my car was 135. So I think you can get the new one to sort of 160. So it's 25 grand more.
I think it's starting, hold on a sec. I'm sure it starts cheaper than I thought. I'm doing a lot of Googling. I should have really looked
at
it.
Be more than 120, mate. And the old car was about 120 plus options.
I thought the old car was 11 something. Hold on.
117.
I literally saw this earlier. Sorry, guys. Bear with us while I do my job.
It was 117 because the first generation was 111.
Okay, so Return of the King. 20, this is Drive Tribe. Come on, Drive Tribe.
Help us, please.
I believe in you. The car to be pricely. 140 and a...
No, I'm right. Don't worry.
Okay.
You can rely on me, boy.
What are you saying? What are you saying? It's.
So, I'm saying... Who cares what I'm saying? It's 155...
123.
Plus options.
Plus options.
Right. So the old car, so standard to standard is about 6 or 7 grand more. The options are obviously more on the new car than the old car.
We've been talking about this car for so long. Now it's finally here. We stumbled over ourselves quite a lot, didn't we? But long story short,
well, you did. Research.
Yeah, I did. So good point. You absolutely nerded out. Well, let's move on and not embarrass ourselves anymore. So end of last week, Ferrari sent out a video to its dearest customers. Unfortunately, neither of us. Revealing some details. I know you didn't get that email. About the new limited hardcore variant of the 812,
yeah,
which people are believing is going to be called the version speciale.
Oh, not GTO.
Speciale. Yeah, everyone thought it was going to be GTO. Now, all I will jump in on here, so that I haven't actually watched the video that's been circulated. Somebody posted it to Instagram, basically, which I'm sure they weren't allowed to do, but YOLO.
They have.
And in it, they go, oh, the 812 version speciale. Now, that could just be Ferrari saying it's the special version of the 812, not confirming the name yet, but everyone's decided that means it's 812 VS, 812 version speciale. So that could have been a code name, but I need to watch the video because maybe he said, I can now confirm the name is, and I'm going to look an idiot. But basically inviting the customers it's invited to buy the car. That's what I love. Like, hello, we're inviting you to invite yourself to buy the car. Classic Ferrari, but I'm glad to see that they're still doing things properly.
Yeah.
We know nothing. We don't know anything about the car looks, any details, but of course, as expected, it will be an even harder, theoretically lighter, maybe a bit more track-focused 812, which in my mind sounds absolutely pointless, but the best thing in the world.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I it's one of my favourite cars, the F12 TDF.
Oh,
so,
the dream.
Yeah, the 812 will. And probably the last V12.
Last natural gas V12. Will it be, if you've got the SF90 at 1,000 horsepower, it's got to be below that, right? So we're thinking 900 horsepower? Or you think it's going to be under 900 horsepower?
Wait, what was the...
812.
Yeah, it's 800, right?
Mm-hmm. 800 horsepower, yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe 850.
Yeah, it won't be 100 more, will it?
Yeah, 850 odd horsepower.
Yeah, be under the SF90.
Anyway, so yeah, as soon as we know more about that, we'll share it. Apparently going to be announced this week, so potentially you guys would have seen it by the time this podcast goes out. Who knows?
Mm.
Another car that I personally am excited about, which I'm not expecting, Tony, you to be that excited about, is the upcoming Morgan Plus 8 GT.
No, I'm really excited about that
car. Do you see that pictures?
No. Oh.
You are such a...
Done him.
How do I walk into that one? Because earlier you were talking about gold wings and pergolas. I was like, oh, maybe you'd be up this. Okay.
Now we're even.
So, Plus 8 GT. This is based on the outgoing old Plus 8 shape.
Yeah.
But it's basically, I couldn't quite understand it. I think recently or back in the day, sort of Independence bought some Plus 8s to kind of make them into track cars, and then they kind of abandoned the project, so now Morgan have taken it on themselves.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a super hardcore, fire-breathing, track-focused, beautifully designed V8 monster Morgan.
Made out of wood.
Yeah, I mean, I think
that's going to work well on track then, isn't it? It's got wood.
They're not all made out of wood. You do know that, right?
What?
It's not literally like a rolling piece of wood. There's a lot of like aluminum.
Well, I'd hope so. Yeah, because it wouldn't literally go around a corner, would it, at that point? But has it got some wood in it?
I would hope so.
Right.
It's not a Morgan, otherwise. Let's see, Morgan. So the thing is, there was a, back in the 90s, there was a few Morgan race cars.
Mm.
And they were sort of very cool looking. And why am I struggling? I'm really Googling too much today. And so this is supposed to like get a lot of that sort of inspiration, like big flared arches, classic like racing wheels and things like that. So I just want to see. Oh, I'm not going to have to find it.
Will you do some B-roll on the pictures? Because I don't even know what car you're talking about.
Oh, you don't even know what it looks like?
No, no.
Oh, I'm going to find it on here then.
But I'll watch this back and then I'll know.
No, I'll show it to you on the phone right now. Yeah. And then I'll overlay it just so that you can react to it.
Because no one else will know what you're talking about.
We're talking about. No, they will. This was big news last week. It's called the GTR, they're calling it. Plus 8 not GTR.
So where's the... Oh, I saw that. Cool. Oh, I did see it. Yeah.
It's cool, right? So here we go.
I think you posted the story, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's where I saw it.
They haven't really talked about exactly how it's going to be put together. But anyway, super cool. So I'm excited by that. I'm a big Morgan fan. Hunkin' great V8. Let's see what comes out of it. I just think it's cool that they're doing special projects.
Why are you a Morgan fan?
Because I love them, mate. I love the look and feel of a Morgan, like an E-Type. You're getting all that old school occasion and visceral experience in a relatively modern car.
Oh, fair.
So, you know, I'm a fan from that
point. Maybe I'll like them.
Not sure you will.
Oh.
So, let's step away from new car reveals onto maybe future tech, because synthetic fuels.
Ah.
Now, following the GT3 announcement last week, Porsche basically came out with this kind of like semi-big announcement that they're really plunging a ton of money into synthetic fuel development.
Well, we kind of got wind of this last year, didn't we?
Yeah, we talked about it a bit in our sort of, you know, our frustrations with the EV infrastructure and...
Or mine.
And yours.
Or mine.
What do you mean,
or mine? Or you love EV.
No. Oh, my God. Why are you winding me up today?
No. Do you like EV, yes or no?
EVs.
Z.
I am embracing EVs.
Right, which is what you say to me, embrace it. I don't want to embrace it.
I am infuriated by the infrastructure. We both agree on that. But I like the EVs.
Right.
There are good EVs out there.
Right. I don't think there are. We'll move on.
We will move on. So, well, as a lifeline for you, Porsche basically said that they hope to be able to get their synthetic fuels good enough that they can work in their combustion engines.
Very good.
So everyday road cars that we're already using here and now, we could be able to fill in, stop off at a traditional petrol station and put some synthetic fuels in our car and off we go, and it will significantly reduce carbon emissions.
85%.
85% is what they're aiming for. Now, it's an interesting one, this, because Porsche are putting a lot of money into EV development, as we know, Taycan, et cetera, et cetera.
Alongside though, mate.
Well, of course, but it's not cheap to develop EVs, you know, as we know. So it's also not going to be cheap to develop synthetic fuels.
No.
But for performance brands, for sports car enthusiasts and companies, you have to suggest or think that this is the future, because the FIA have already done a big push for synthetic fuels.
Yeah.
Jean-Todd came out saying that he wants Formula One to run on synthetic fuels in the next few years. And all of motorsport.
Well, that's going to be the big giveaway of whether it's actually going to go anywhere, because that's where it will start.
Of course, it could be the catalyst. You know, if you're getting some of the most genius brains and engineers to work on this and implement it into high-level motorsport, that does tend to trickle down into road cars eventually. Of course. That's what we've seen before.
Yep.
It's only nowadays that sometimes there's a discord between Formula One tech and road car tech, but synthetic fuels could be a major thing. As I say, the performance sports enthusiast car market, you know, so we're not talking about mass production EVs, because that's where we're going. Everything mass produced, unfortunately, is going to go EVs. Whether that's the future or the final picture, we don't know.
And I'm fine with that. If you've got to go to work and you do 60 miles a day, it's absolutely perfect.
Theoretically. Yeah, as long as it doesn't melt the national grid.
Or we've been through that before, and the infrastructure's there, then fine. But the performance bit will never work, as far as I'm concerned, with EV, because a big part of performance is noise. And actually, as we come to it, I have a new C63S.
Okay.
Downside.
Nice.
Outside, coupe one. It's a very nice car. And it's actually a little bit annoying because they've put them stupid filters on.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, of course. Have to.
So we know that they then plug the noise through the speakers. BMW were one of the first to do it in the M4 in 2015 or 14, whenever it came out. And it is a bit annoying, and it does make the cabin more noisy. But it is a very nice place to be, and you can hear the rumble of the engine still. And I was driving it here today, just thinking amongst myself and thinking, well, the new car's going to be a 2-litre car. We know that now. Who's going to buy it? Because that's the whole reason why, for me, I'm driving that car at the moment, because it's got a nice V8 engine in it, and at least you can hear something still, although it is a little bit engineered for the speakers. But if you undo the window, you can still hear the car. The most annoying bit is the 9-speed gearbox they put in it. I mean, it's really annoying.
Just keep getting lost in the gears.
Just keeps going, just keeps changing gear.
You never know which one you're in. Where's first?
Yeah.
No, but I mean, this is, of course, a bigger, wider conversation, which we should really touch on in another episode. But when I was working with Harman Kardon, 2019, I went to their headquarters and learned all about how they're developing this kind of internal engine or audio. How do you shape the sound of cars from the future? And not just EVs, as you're saying, smaller and smaller combustion engines. How do you keep the experience enjoyable for the driver or for the passenger? And they can obviously create whatever sounds they want. Taycan's a great example, where they've got that
a performance sound, whatever they call it. And
I mean, it sounds terrible.
I think it sounds great. But, you know, we're going to have to see more. And they're going to, some people are going to get it wrong, some people are going to get it right.
Of course.
But also, the key thing is manufacturers are going to have to or try to create their own sounds so that you know what an Aston Martin is or a Mercedes is. Because a traditional Mercedes AMG V8 had a very identifiable noise or sound.
It did.
And so, yeah, a big question mark for it for sure. But I think the exciting thing about synthetic fuels is there is a potential future where the cars that we've been talking about for decades, E-types or 360s, F12 TDFs, could not be able to go out onto the road because fuel stations might not exist.
Mm.
Like, we do live in a world now where you could see governments announcing that by 2050, they don't want fuel stations or the taxes are so high that these companies are going to have to close down the fuel stations.
I don't think that'll happen that soon, mate.
But Shell have just invested huge amounts in EV stations.
They have, yeah.
Putting in charging setups in a lot of their stations. And more that people push towards EVs being the forefront, the more and more manufacturers are offering EVs, governments are pushing people to buy EVs, there's going to be less and less demand for petrol stations, for traditional oils. And so, therefore, it could be even harder to run, to own, to live with an old combustion engine car.
Yeah.
Whilst if we are able to switch to synthetics, it means that we have the ability to keep running these older cars.
Of course.
In a cleaner way.
Yeah.
So I'm all for it. I think it's a huge, huge sign of hope. Who knows where it's going to come? I don't think it's like, okay, we're all saved. Everyone's going to keep building, you know, V12 engines. But I think it's more of a sign of hope for cars that already exist.
And I think it's more than hope, mate, because if Porsche are plunging a load of money into something in general, they're doing it for a reason because they're confident they can make it work. Because, well, not just Porsche, it's
the VW group, Bentley are doing it. And yeah, exactly.
So they're doing it for a reason because they, obviously in the VAG group, you've got all these performance cars. And like I said, without engine noise, mate, they're nothing. What are Ferrari going to do without engine noise? I mean,
there's so people slag me off sometimes because or Lambo. I mean, in videos, I often talk about, oh, you know, just pump the sound into the cabin, who cares? I think if it's done right, which it very rarely is, it can be okay with the windows up as a driver if it's done right. I think there can still be a synthetic or an amplified noise which enhances the driving experience. That is ruined the minute you get to a tunnel and go, oh, let's put the windows down.
Yeah.
And it's quieter.
Yeah, of course.
And that was a big thing in the Lexus LFA. A lot louder in the cabin because they work with Yamaha to really amplify the noise and the experience in the cabin. The actual exhaust of an LFA is quite quiet. Mm. Amazing tone, but actually quite quiet. Yeah. And so, yeah, that's what they're going to have to battle. Now, what are your thoughts? Very controversial. If they start using the technology that they're doing for the interior on the exterior and start using synthetic exterior noises.
Good shout, to be honest. As in, I mean, one thing's for sure, they've got to find a way to keep people in their cars that buy them for noise. Because, listen, the amount of people that come into me, the first thing they do is rev the car up, see what it sounds like.
But we are the few, mate. We are the few. We are the enthusiasts. Mass market, firstly, are leaning away from buying cars full stop. But secondly, they don't. My sister could not care less.
Your sister couldn't, but in the performance world, which is a huge market, right across the range, whether you're buying a 20 grand Mini or you're buying a £1 million Bugatti, the performance market is huge.
Totally agree with you there. And hence why we've seen AMG and S-Line and M-Line rolling out across the brand, you know, because people want to be able to sort of hint towards performance and money.
And even people that don't care, mate, they go, whoa, I've got an S-Line car or I've got...
Exactly.
They don't really know what they bought, but...
Do you not think manufacturers are going to start twisting that towards luxury and status and symbolism rather than necessarily performance? Because there is a big part of it. I say, take us out of the equation that are buying it for the idea of what it is. People will go and buy a G-Wagon, not for its 0-60 time or its engine, but because of it being a status symbol.
Of course.
So at the same time, would
and
you go and buy...
Sounds.
And for the way it sounds. Yeah. Well, yeah, but no, but Kim Kardashian probably doesn't give a crap how it sounds.
No.
She couldn't care less. But she's probably bought more G-Wagons than the whole of the UAE.
But that's because someone's advising her to buy that because he likes the sound of them.
No, he's not, mate. It's because of what that car firstly, I think she would be the first woman to stand up and tell you, like, no man tells me what to do. But it's not, it's because that what that car represents, the status that it gives, like the image that it gives. And I that's what I see happening is that RS5, or as we're seeing it with Jaguar, Jaguar came out and say, we're going to go all electric, luxury premium brand. You know, and therefore you're changing it so that there's still a desirability factor. It's still a status symbol. Oh my God, you got a Jaguar? Wow. Like, don't pull that face. and the buyers then are buying it for a different reason, but also some of the same reasons. Mm. And of course, us, the petrolhead enthusiasts who want big shouty V8s and noise and emotion and feeling, we're getting fewer and fewer choices. But those who sit just behind us, the guy who's buying is Porsche, not for the way that Porsche sounds, but because it's a Porsche. Because people are, there's city bankers, sorry guys.
That's true.
Who buy a Porsche 911 because it's a Porsche 911.
Yeah.
No other reason.
Yeah, sure. So from coming from that angle then, are we a dying breed? As the generations go, my daughter, she's mm-hmm. four, mm-hmm. well, is this all she's going to know? Is she going to care about an engine or...
I don't think so. Mm. I genuinely don't think so. I think...
I'm fuming.
Yeah, sorry to ruin your day. but I do think we're a dying breed because I think the priorities or what people look for in their cars as a performance car, it's going to be premium car. Mm. There's still going to be some elements which carry over. Bentley, for example, they're pushing towards EV because what they're actually selling is more an idea, as I say, a status, a premium luxury feel with, yes, some elements of performance, but that performance isn't inherently tied into the engine, the sound.
No.
You know, it's more about the overall experience, getting in, getting out, looking at it, saying you own a Bentley, what it feels like inside.
But they've always been like that.
Absolutely. But then, as I say, I think Jaguar are the first people that have shown, oh, it's Paul Wallace, should I pick up?
Going on him.
You're live on the podcast.
Is that why Tony's not replying?
Oh, yeah.
That's why Tony's not replying. I don't think you're going to come across very well on audio, so can I call you back afterwards?
Go away!
I want to tell everyone how good the Honda NSX is.
You want to tell everyone how good the Honda NSX is. Okay, we'll schedule for next week's episode, okay? You can come on and chat to her about it.
Fantastic. Bye.
Bye. So Paul Wallace wants to buy a Honda NSX apparently. Anyway, moving on. So yeah, my point being that if Jaguar are one of the first to do this, well, they're not the first, but one of these other brands to do this, that is my feeling. I do think we are a dying breed. I think people like Porsche, like Ferrari, like Lambo are still going to exist in some shape or form. I think we'll be okay. We might have to suck it up, or you might have to suck it up, Tony, and buy slightly older cars. But I think we're going to see this more and more, that the younger generation want a different thing from their RS brand. RS will mean something different in 25 years.
I'll tell you what then, from another angle, all these older cars, we'll have to be a little bit careful then, don't we? Because it won't be worth anything if we can't fuel them up.
There you go. So it needs that synthetic fuel to get the 360 still going.
Oh, anything. Yeah. Anything that's petrol powered. Is this the beginning of the end? Why are we all running out buying petrol cars?
You sound like my dad now, but
he's got a point.
He has got a point. Well, because I do think it's a slow burnout. I think, you know, hey, we all know how quickly these things can change. Governments, you know, make rule changes all the time. So it could all change in the flick of a switch. But, hey, there's still fuel at the filling station. So for as long as that's the case, I'm going to own a petrol car.
Yeah, me too. But as quick as car values go up, they go down, mate. So
true that.
If people are buying LaFerraris for investments, how long is it before they come back down because you can't put any fuel in them anymore?
Does it then become an art piece, though?
Well, that would be the only... You can't drive it, you just got to look at it.
Exactly that.
But quite a lot of people, mate, they... Not laughs, but in general, buy some of these cars on finance, which always... They buy investment cars on finance to pay interest to make money. But they're not making any money because they're paying the interest on the finance. They're not really investment pieces.
I've got a business idea.
Okay.
From now until 2030...
Yeah.
Every month, let's go and fill up like 20 jerry cans of fuel and just store them somewhere.
What? Why don't we just buy a petrol station then?
Oh, we can buy a petrol station and just close it from now until... Because in 2030, they'll come and knock in. And then we can be like those guys who sell Nike shoes for £500.
Yeah, yeah.
We can sell jerry cans for 10 mil.
Yeah.
Because people will buy this. There'll be somebody out there with a 250 GTO going, yeah. Oh, I'll pay whatever you want.
Yeah.
I've just cracked it and I've given it away to everyone listening on the podcast, which is now 40,000 people on YouTube. Thank you so much. And as I say, we're not knocking audio only listeners. We love you as well. You're a smaller group, but we kind of adore you.
How many have we got on there?
It's about 50. It's growing from about 15 to around 18,000.
But it's not bad, mate. Because
it's a solid group. That's how I listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and we've only been, don't forget, we've only been doing this regularly for about a year, just over a year, regularly, solidly. Yeah. And that's ultimately why it's grown. You know, we dipped in and out of it, didn't we, before?
Well, I hate to say it, but COVID has helped the podcast.
Yeah.
Which is an awful thing to say. But anyway, long live the regularity of this show. We hope you guys have enjoyed this week's episode. Lots that we talked about, lots that we discussed. Slightly dodgy section on the GT3, but we'll skip over that. we'll be back next week, apparently, with Paul Wallace to discuss his new love of the Honda
NSX. He's not coming in here, is he?
Well, no, we'll call him.
Yeah.
That'll be it. Just so that we can hang out when we get bored. I wouldn't. Yeah.
You know why he wants the NSX, don't you?
Why?
Because he really likes that Artura, but the NXS is the next best thing.
No, Artura versus NSX, it's not a thing.
They're both V6 hybrids.
Oh yeah, but mate, like...
But what?
That's like saying, I'm trying to think, that's like saying a C63 is a Speciale. They're both V8s.
No, one's turbo, one's naturally aspirated.
Oh, get over yourself. You know what I'm trying to say.
No, like, I don't.
Well, think of another crap V8 and an amazing V8. You guys always got the same engine, so it's literally the same car.
Well, I can't.
Firstly, different liters, different technology, different way of using the hybrid technology, four-wheel drive, rear-wheel drive.
Okay.
Is the NSX four-wheel drive? Let's move on quickly. Thanks for tuning in. Catch up next week. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.